This week's episode of Angry Admins is brought to you by...
Whoa, that was a serious computer crash. This thing is toast.
Not so fast, Timmy. You can still use that computer. You just need our special software, Reboot.
Re-what?
Reboot. It's the software sensation that's sweeping the nation. In just a few seconds, your computer is completely restored, clearing errors and reloading drivers.
That's righteous, man. How do I get Reboot?
Well, our software is so advanced, we've already installed it on every PC ever released. For just 3 easy installments of $9.95, we'll help you reboot your way to a trouble-free PC.
Man, I don't know. This thing is hosed hardcore.
For special users like Timmy, we have a brand new product. Reboot Extreme Reset Button Edition. A hardware-based solution guaranteed to restart your PC. It requires no hard disk space and no memory.
But I don't have any money.
Well, you could move out of your parents' basement and get a job. Remember, if your PC is hung up, frozen, or crashing like a Wiimote through the family room window, trust in the software sensation that's sweeping the nation. Reboot is the solution for you.
Oh yeah? Well, my name's not Timmy. Reboot is not for kids. Do not visit MySpace. Some restrictions may apply. Not available in Florida. Welcome to the Angry Admins Podcast for December 19th, 2006, episode number 8. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is the Angry Admins Podcast. My name is Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
This is a show where two system administrators give their take on IT in the workplace, gadgets at home, and where we think information culture is headed.
So on the radar this week, we've got some new enhancements to the site dig.com, D-I-G-G.com. It's a social news site where users get to vote on stories and kind of pick their favorites. But some of the new things at the site, they did a kind of an interface overhaul where you can now stretch the site to take advantage of widescreen monitors where it was pretty limited before. Another nice thing is the top 10 stories basically of the day, it seems like. And this is nice because there's so many stories that go by. You can quickly look and see, you know, what the favorite stories are, the top 10. The other big enhancement is the video enhancements. So Dig recently added video to their site, and the new update allows you to actually play videos from YouTube, Metacafe, Google Video, like that, right in their site. Which before you had to kind of go to the site, then come back to Dig it if you liked it. This is just like a nice little enhancement that seems small, but is really kind of huge.
Right.
But the final thing, which is really cool for us, is the new podcasting section. Now, this section's in beta, so you have to be a registered user to actually take advantage of it. But what this does is it allows you to submit the feed for your favorite podcast, for example, angryadmins.com, and you can actually vote on that podcast, so if you like it, it'll get a vote and it'll move up, and then you can also vote for individual episodes. So if you have a favorite episode, you can vote for that, and then your friends will be able to go back and look and see what you voted for. And it's really pretty nice. I mean, it's, you know, there hasn't been a good central place to get podcasts. There's some that try to do it, Podcast Alley and some others. But it always seemed a little kludgy, and I think this voting mechanism will really help move podcasting to the next phase.
Right. Yeah, I like what they did. It's very cool. I mean, Dig was already pretty awesome, but it's just getting better. So, this week we had Time's Person of the Year was revealed, and it was you, as in all of us.
Wow, me? Really?
Oh, yes, that's you.
I feel so special.
So yeah, they basically are saying that the folks on the web have made the most difference this past year. There's been an explosion, and with, you know, the MySpace, Wikipedia, all of the collaboration type things out there, so the blogs and YouTube, that apparently they feel like all the folks out there that do Web 2.0 collaboration, that's made the most difference in culture in the past 12 months. And I don't know if I agree with that, but that's who they picked. They picked everyone, so a nice non-specific.
A little bit of a cop-out.
A little bit of a cop-out, maybe. But, yeah, it was pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, it's good to, you know, it shows at least that they're still kind of on top of technology, and technology is kind of in the forefront.
Right.
So that's good. So the final thing, Firefox recently achieved 25% market share, which is pretty big news. You know, with especially with Internet Explorer 7 just came out, and everybody kind of knew it was coming out. Firefox is still pushed ahead. This is great news, and we all love Firefox. All the plugins we've covered, so this is good deal.
Yeah, I think once again, we've covered Firefox, in previous episodes, and I think this is really the key that shows that we have active internet users instead of passive users. And what I mean by that are people that care about which browser they have, and they care about their browser security, and they make a preference, like an active choice, to download and use Firefox. So that's impressive versus, folks just opening up the default browser.
It also shows how, make sure you have your act together, especially when it comes to software in the online arena, because it doesn't take long for people to make the switch.
Right, that's true. And also, site makers, make sure you're compatible with Firefox,
that's right,
or a fourth of your visitors may not be seeing your stuff.
So in the Rewind this week, we wanted to go back and touch on a couple stories from last week. This week I had a chance to really try out the offline Windows Updater software package and had some really good success with it. I went ahead and ran the updater, and it actually had to stop partway through because I ran out of space on my machine. And then I was able to actually restart it, and it continued where it left off and didn't have to re-download everything again.
Nice.
And then it made the ISO for a DVD, which burned fine with Nero. I took it home, tried it on my home machine, and it ran without a hitch. And, I actually didn't have any updates to install, but it, gave me a nice little log at the end saying, here's what was installed, nothing, and listed everything clearly and cleanly. And I have to say, this is definitely a good piece of software. And, I'd like to try it out on the network maybe in the future, but definitely for what its purpose is, where you unplug your machine, you have it off the network, it's going to work great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
my mom has a laptop that's never online. I think I may try this, and then when I go home for the holidays, maybe try to use it to catch up her.
Yeah, that'd be great to try.
It's definitely faster than downloading it while I'm there.
Yeah, anytime I go anywhere at anybody's house, I'm definitely going to bring a copy of this every time now. It's a very useful tool. And then the other thing we wanted to cover just briefly is a... related to the Linux stories from last week, the release this week was a Linux timeline. Now this thing is, it doesn't sound that impressive, but when you actually look at it, we'll have a link in the show notes to this, but somebody took the time to actually make a timeline that shows every break off of every Linux distribution, basically starting back to the beginning in 1991 all the way up to present day, showing the track for Red Hat and everything that's broken off of that. Really, really an interesting little thing. If you ever were curious where your favorite distro came from, you can track it back this way, and it's just some good information. So this week for our main story, we wanted to go into a little detail about a few of our favorite network utilities and network scanning programs. And basically, there's a few reasons that we wanted to talk about this. Network is a pretty important part of a sysadmin's job, and there's several reasons why you'd want to use some of these tools. If you need to update your network topology, it's good to have a nice layout of what your network is so that when you have problems, you can quickly solve them, or if you need to do a security scan, or perhaps test bandwidth between a few points on the network, or just test basic connectivity between systems. Network is just really important, and we thought we'd go into a little detail about it. First off on our list is a pretty basic utility that goes way back, and Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit about ping?
Ping, yes. You have to learn to crawl before you can run.
That's right.
And when you're looking at networks or trying to troubleshoot something, ping is usually the first place you start. So ping's available on Linux, Unix, Windows. It's pretty much out there and everything. Windows, just look it up in the help. Unix, you can just do a man page for ping for all your options. And really all it does is it goes out and you give it an IP address or a host name. It resolves and it tells you the It just comes back with an ICMP echo and says, this is how long it took for me to send a packet to that and for it to come back. So you can leave it running. It's, you know, Joe and I use it if we're troubleshooting networks. You can start pinging something and start pulling cables and see when your ping drops out.
So you had a kind of a funny story or a little interesting thing about that.
So back at Berkeley in the early 80s, the guy that wrote ping, he said that the best story he ever heard was a guy had rigged up his ping utility to an audio program. So his computer was making this ping sound, and he turned up the volume, and then he walked through the building pulling cables, listening for when the sound went away. So it was like literally a ping.
Right.
You know? So no, that was pretty good. But it is a very simple but also very useful tool for monitoring network and monitoring latency.
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody uses it, kind of maybe take it for granted. And, it's kind of along those same lines, kind of the next stage in scanning would be traceroute. It's been around for a long time as well. And, basically what it does is it uses the time to live of a TCP packet and starts out with one so that it only does a single hop and then continues on so that you can list each router between you and the endpoint of your traceroute. And this tool can be very useful if you're trying to figure out connectivity, say, from one remote point to another, and there's a problem in the middle and you want to see where it times out. If you're doing maybe a VPN and you want to see if it's getting through the VPN and not getting, you know, somewhere on the other end, or if it's locally, basically it's, you know, it uses the same kind of ICMP packet that ping does, but a little bit more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
Really not a whole lot to it, but, you know, very, very useful. And I think it's on, you know, everything, Windows, Linux, OS 10. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a copy of it.
Yeah, ping and traceroute, you know, for people who are new to you know, networking, it's really cool to, like, if you put in a traceroute to CNN.com or whatever, it's interesting to see how many hops something, you know, you might have something that you know is just down the street, and you do a traceroute, and you see that, you know, your packets are actually jumping all the way across the United States and then to come back. So.
Yeah.
A great troubleshooting tool, and also pretty interesting some of the results that you get.
And if you want to take it to another level, there's several programs that kind of put that in a graphical way and map it out on a map. So if you wanted to check those out, just search for Google for a traceroute, and you'll find some of those nice GUI programs. But in reality, really all you need is the command line one.
Right.
So the next program on our list is an IP scanner utility.
Yeah, Angry IP Scanner. The current version is, I believe, 2.21. This thing's been around for a few years, actually. I started using this a couple years ago. It's a very small GUI. It's Windows-based. It's a nice tool. If you have a certain range of IPs that you want to scan and just see what hosts are alive, it's a great way to do that. You type in your IP address range, and then you just hit go, and it comes back and it gives you the list of every alive or dead host, and you know how long they took the ping to come back, and it'll even resolve the host names. It's good because it can make a variety of output reports, so you can have text files or, you know, spreadsheets or whatever based on that, and you can save your results. So it's a very small, very useful tool. Now, it doesn't do all kinds of, you know, like crazy penetration tests and stuff like that. It's more of just like kind of, I would say, it's a discovery tool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I want to know, you know, how many hosts are alive on a network or, you know, available IP addresses, it's a good one. It's a good one to use.
One note of caution, it is somewhat intrusive. So if you aren't the high up admin on your network, this could be viewed as hacker or shady tactics. So just be careful when using this on a large network that you're not going to upset the other admins in the area. But it can be used, especially if you have, say, DHCP and you want to see, if you don't have access to the logs for your DHCP server and you want to see who all is on your network, see if there's anybody leeching that maybe shouldn't be on there, this would be a good way to discover those people.
And it is free and open source.
Always the best.
Yep.
So we've got a little more on the advanced side of things. There's a good utility out there called iPerf, which has a client and server side, runs on Windows, Linux, anything out there pretty much. There's a version for you. And what you do is you set up a server side and a client side, and it will basically tell you the bandwidth between those two points. But now that sounds simple, but there's a lot more to it. You can tune your packet size, your window size, basically get in really low and and kind of tune your TCP connection so that if you're having some trouble with some bandwidth, you know, it could be a lot more complicated than just, you know, they're not giving you the bandwidth you're supposed to be getting. It could be that your TCP connection needs to be tuned, especially on things like a VPN. I know we've experienced this where changing your window size for a VPN can make all the difference in your bandwidth. So iPerf, you know, just get out there, mess with it, you know, set it up between a couple points and try it out. And it's really been one of those tools that I didn't think I would use that often, and now I use it almost as much as Ping and Traceroute. It's pretty handy.
Yeah, I know we've had pretty good luck with that recently, doing some stuff out in the field. So.
And then also just a few more things that you can do with iPerf. You can also set your number of connections. So if you want to try more than just say one connection between points, you can test a multi-connection bandwidth, and you can test TCP, UDP, basically anything about your connection you want to try. iPerf will let you do it. Now, if you don't have the ability to connect to both endpoints, and maybe you just want to check your speed, there's some free online utilities that will let you check your internet bandwidth. Speakeasy.net has one, speakeasy.net/speedtest. They'll let you just test kind of your raw bandwidth out to the net from home or at work, and that'll tell you if you're getting all the pipe that you're supposed to be getting. So.
That's good.
Site of the week. So for our site of the week this week, we have lifehacker.com. And this site is pretty good. We've both been following this for quite a while now. And the idea behind this is, I'll just read their slogan. Computers make us more productive. Yeah, right. Lifehacker recommends the software downloads and websites that actually save time. Don't live to geek, geek to live. So basically what they do is they give you tips on how to use your computer more efficiently. A good example of this would be, you can see real-time weather on a Google Map, embed any image into a Google Map, use About Airport Parking to grab the sweet spot, which is a way to find a good parking spot at the airport. So simple things like that where you can use your computer to actually do something useful in the real world.
Mm-hmm. They also have some other productivity tips too, like one of the ones that was interesting recently was the exact combination of change you needed to have in your pocket to always make exact change.
Nice.
You know, like the number of nickels and dimes and stuff you need. And then they also had one on how to reset your sleep schedule. Mm-hmm. Like if your sleep schedule gets all messed up, you know, what to do to get back on track. So it is technology sort of focused, but it's a lot of the spinoff things of, you know, just daily life and dealing with all the junk that, you know, comes across folks, like laundry and, like you say, parking and stuff like that too. So yeah, check it out. That's lifehacker.com. Okay, folks, that's going to wrap it up for episode number 8. Feel free to leave us comments on angryadmins.com, search for us on iTunes, or feel free to dig your favorite episodes of our show on digg.com, that's dig.com. We plan to be off for the holidays next week, but we'll be back on our regular Tuesday schedule the first week in January. That'll be a January 2nd recording, if all goes well. Until then, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
Happy holidays, you guys.
Stay angry!
Well, this week was it, man. That was the last show.
I know. I'm so disappointed.
So Heroes is done. Galactica's done. Lost has been done.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so depressed.
There's nothing to watch now.
There's nothing for me to sit on the couch and do nothing while doing.
Well, and the sad thing is that all the online content is slowing down too because
right.
Everyone's off for the holidays.
Yeah.
So we're in like a vacuum.
I mean, the only thing we have is Heroes has their lame online comic that I think they're going to keep updating until the new episode starts, but that's not going to keep me happy.
That's not good, man.
I may have to download some torrents of like 24 or some old show. Maybe I'll rewatch Firefly.
Yeah, I was digging through my DVDs the other day and there's just nothing I really want to see.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's bad news, man. It's like a drought of entertainment.
I'm so lonely without my heroes, my Battlestar.